All right, welcome to Classic Cartoons. I am Anthony Coon. I have gone to this convention every year since the first one. It started in 1997. That is a true story. But there's some interesting things that happened. Last night, I wanted to get the shuttle bus, and I was unaware that it was on one side of the building. And I'm going back and forth, back and forth. Oh, my God, am I going to have to walk all the way back? And then I realized, no problem, I realized it was around the other side. So I wound up on there to go back to the DoubleTree. The woman that was the driver was unbelievable. If you can picture Alkali as your bus driver, just, look at these people. Why can't you take that right? Your directional's on. You know, you can. It doesn't say no turn on red. These stupid people here in Pittsburgh and everything. It was like getting a whole act. We thought it was a riot. So that was on the shuttle bus last night going back to the DoubleTree. So that's kind of interesting. Now, by way of explanation, this is Classic Cartoons, which I have done at five different conventions, including Anthrocon, Furrydelphia, Furpocalypse, Anthro New England, and then the new one up in Portland, Maine, that is Furcation Land. So I've had fun doing it. I'm going to be going all over the place. I'm going to be playing a whole bunch of clips. Some of them you know. Some of them are like obscure commercials and things like that, or oddball things. I could go and play a whole bunch of interesting things. I want to play a few clips right now. I mean, the first one, we're talking Chuck Jones, and it's like a Father's Day related thing. I know we just had Father's Day. So I'm going to play some of that, maybe some commercials you might remember and everything. And we can talk all about classic cartoons. In my case, mostly it's 40s through 90s, let's say. I know there's a lot of stuff that you probably know better than I do. And I don't get into the older stuff, you know, pre-40s or something. We know it exists. I'm not a huge expert on it. But let's start, and I got to apologize. Some of the sound on this is not all that good. This is a bit muffled. But this is from A Bear for Punishment, The Three Bears, which was a series of cartoons Chuck Jones did. You know, and again, this is Father's Day. Well, it was Father's Day. So this is kind of appropriate. So we'll start off with some classic Chuck Jones. They had Paw Bear in one of the Animaniacs cartoons at one point. Yes. Something about the garage sale. 1974, when I was 12.
Secret toasted in Boston and eight essential vitamins and iron make the nutrition that tastes great. prove it, because I'll let you know when it's the year of the elephant.
You're hungry.
I remember this when it first aired.
Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes cereal. The secret frosting makes it extra crunchy, extra delicious.
I know. Flakes of corn with just the right amount of frosting for kids and adults.
How did I teach you to say it?
It's good.
You may be Mr. Breakfast to the rest of the world, but you know what you are to me.
Your little Tony.
I'm so proud of him. And sit up straight.
Oh, hi, Moms. You used to see
him. He does have a wife and a daughter.
And playing games. Thanks, dear. But I want to remind you that although Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes is fun food, it's also good food.
Please pass milk, Pop.
You get the goodness of corn, plus vitamins and iron, and a secret toasted in frosting that everyone likes.
Yeah.
Yes, Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes is for the entire family. It's good morning food that tastes...
Right!
Our family is wonderful.
Yeah, the wife was named Mrs. Tony. The daughter was Antoinette. You see, I got some of these off YouTube, so whatever is at the end of it. There's more commercials, there's more theme songs and everything. I'm just going to give you a little bit of everything, then we'll talk about stuff. Give this a moment. Ugh. Okay. Ham's Beer. The bear.
There's a big bear brotherhood of Ham's.
No, this. I'm not sure who did the animation on this. Format Films or something, I don't know. Maybe. Might have. So he's quadruped. Yeah, the Ham's Beer ad, they don't really have them in this part of the country, but I went online and I saw there was a place in Meadville, Pennsylvania, just north of here that had it. So I went there and I said, yeah, I saw that you have a 16-ounce six-pack of Ham's. Yes, sir, that'd be $4. Okay, I think I can afford that. So, yeah, Ham's. Oh, yeah, this is some macro and microfern. Now, this is Hanna-Barbera. This is Pumpkin Puss and Mush Mouth. Sabrina and Archie and well, Jughead.
I think it's groovy. Now all the dogs on the block will look up to me.
Now this is live action, but this is macro furry right here. Watch out for that kitty cat. Incredible Shrinking Man, 1957. Speaking of tiny, inch high private eye, 73.
Braveheart, it is traditional for the dog to chase the cat, not vice versa.
You think they're similar, Lynch?
Microscopic melon, that was pretty small. Yeah, and we were just talking about this movie.
Lunchtime!
Geronimo Stilton. A series of Italian books, I believe. He's only as small as a mouse.
Dodge-a-rama. Let's go.
And they're all mice, too.
From now on, you do what I say. And I say we wait until they pass. Now let's go.
Nineteen The Catnuga Cats, that was a show they had with some other parts of it. So they were a feline rock group. Oops, just lost it. Yeah, that show also had It's the Wolf, if you remember that, and also Otto, Cat, and Motor Mouse, and Around the World in 79 Days. So that was around 1969.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. And in the early 70s, I know this guy, sadly no longer with us, but his brothers are still around. Oh yeah, I'll go back to that in just a moment. I want to talk a little bit before we get to music videos and things like that. Okay, so a lot of that was stuff you would have on Saturday mornings. Back in the days when there weren't all these channels that were all cartoons and different things like that and different cable channels that would feature it, you would mostly have it on Saturday mornings, sometimes Sunday mornings, or in the afternoon. You know, growing up in Boston, you would have Top Cat, Speed Racer, all those type of shows. And you'd also have the commercials that you saw with Tony the Tiger and so on. So let me just go over here. So there's so many options now. I mean, even with this convention, I've been doing this convention since the beginning. We would be at like the Adams Mark in Philly, and you would go up to the top floor, and they would have a video room where they would show stuff like what you just saw, because YouTube wasn't around yet. I know it's hard to believe, wasn't around yet. So now you got so many options. And a lot of times, if something aired on TV, if you missed the show, you missed it, unless you want to watch, you know, wait 6 months and have it show up as a rerun. But so now you got the computer, you got the phone, you got so many different things. So back in the 50s, you know, after having a whole bunch of theatrical cartoons, they started making them for TV, and Hanna-Barbera was well known for that, with stuff like Rough and Ready and Huckleberry Hound and Yogi Bear. So they started to do that. You had Disney doing cartoons. Of course, you had the Wonderful World of Disney. Warner Brothers, oh, you just saw a little bit of it at the very beginning. Filmation, they did the Archies and things like that. And to Patty Freeling, which did the Pink Panther. And then later there was a company called Deek, D-I-C, that did different things. And we saw some of the commercials. There were some versions of some of the comic strips out there. There was Dennis the Menace, Archie's TV Funnies, you had the Peanut Specials, and in 68 you had a version of Pogo, the comic strip Pogo. So you had a whole bunch of different things. So again, a lot of us went to furry through these cartoons. And it's just so great to think about what they started back in the early days of Gertie the Dinosaur and Disney and all that. And then, yeah, Looney Tunes and everything. And back then, you would have your movie, you'd have a newsreel, you'd have cartoons, you'd have a whole night of entertainment because you didn't have TV yet. But a lot of the great stuff out there, when you think of comedy, just think of Warner Brothers. I could do a whole panel. Think of all the Looney Tunes and stuff. Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, and so on. You saw a little bit of it at the start. So they wound up doing a whole bunch of different styles of cartoons. Now, as you might guess, I like a lot of comedy type things. You saw some music stuff in there. You had the Jackson 5. They would have like a new song or something as part of each episode. They even had like a Beatles cartoon and things like that. You also had superheroes. You think of things like, I don't know if I get it on here somewhere, if I can dig it out. I think I had Spider-Man, yeah. Now this is a classic TV theme song, right? Spider-Man. I think we're going to see some other things that are kind of related. This is a good tune. Give it a moment.
does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size. Can't you see? Just like flies. Look out. Here comes a Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's like radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes a Spider-Man. In the chill of the night, at the scene of a crime, by the street of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Welcome back, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang. Wherever there's a hang, you'll find Spider-Man.
Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, there were so many of them. And you also had a lot of spoofs. You had stuff like Underdog, one of our, he since passed away back around 08 or 09. One of our guests of honor was Joe Harris. He created Underdog and also the Trix Rabbit. So you had that. You had a show called Super Six from around 66 or 67. I think I've got the intro here, so we may play some of that. And a whole bunch of other things, too. There was also The Mighty Heroes, done by Ralph Bakshi, before he started doing some adult animation, if you know what I mean. So you had that. I won't be playing any Fritz the Cat. So, but yeah, there's so many other great shows like that you have to think about. And then how about educational shows, whether it was PBS or Nickelodeon or whatever you had, the different things. In the other panel, I mentioned Arthur the Aardvark. You had so many different things. They've had The Magic School Bus. They've had the Bookworm Bunch. They had stuff like George Shrinks on there. Timothy Goes to School. They had some other ones. And, yeah, some educational shows.
Schoolhouse Rock.
Schoolhouse Rock, definitely. Schoolhouse Rock came out around 73, 74, 75. I was maybe, 13, 14 years old. And they said, my kid has trouble remembering the stuff they learned in school, but they know all the Rolling Stones song lyrics. Why don't we do some of that? And so you had, My Hero Zero and Three is a Magic Number.
They were still on ABC when I was growing up in the 90s.
Yep, the Four-Legged Zoo. They reissued some of that. And there was actually a compilation album called Schoolhouse Rock Rocks, where they had some of the local kind of alternative groups do spoofs of that and everything. So you have a whole bunch of different things. So when I talk about classic cartoons, it does not have to be really old. It can be something as new as the recent years. Now, I think Zootopia is a classic, and some of the recent things that have come out, they're not too bad. I like the Sing movies. I like The Bad Guys. You also had Paws of Fury, which was like based on Blazing Saddles. You had Clifford the Big Red Dog, that movie that came out. I mean, there was the one that was totally a cartoon, but then there was one, was it last year or the year before, live action, and they blended it in. So you had Clifford the Big Red Dog. The Tom and Jerry movie, I saw that a couple years ago. I still remember it was like one of the first movies I could see when things started to open up again, and I went to a theater. That was live action, but they had the cartoon animals mixed in. They had a shot where someone was real life, but they were walking a cartoon dog, so I remember that. And I think I mentioned Rock Dog. And there's been a whole bunch of recent ones, and there's some we look forward to. Now, The Bad Guys, I thought that's somehow, I think a lot of furries like that one. So that was a pretty good movie, and I think there's definitely going to be a sequel of that. So, yes, yeah, something can be fairly new but still be a classic. So I'm going to ask people now, of the ones I see, some people have already said, the stuff you grew up with, what were some of your favorites? Go ahead.
So, even though this was, kind of before my time, My parents had a bunch of VHS tapes of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, yeah.
Obsessed with it, and Peabody and Sherman, and all.
I know. I ought to show you something. There was a show called Evening Magazine, and they talked to June Foray and Bill Scott. Thank you. And it was kind of interesting. They were also doing other voices. Now, they were both on the Gummy Bears, and they were going to work on some projects. And then, sadly, Bill Scott had a heart attack in 85, and he died. So he did do some work on the Gummy Bears. But there's going to be a little thing about that. Rocky and Bullwinkle was so good, and you had a lot of related shows that were like that were done by Jay Scott and other people as well. So go ahead. Anyone else? Go ahead.
Growing up, I was pretty much a big fan of Scooby-Doo.
Scooby. I never really got into that, but the thing is, Hanna-Barbera liked the whole idea of the mystery, and Joe Barbera loved dogs. Just about every show, look at Astro in the Jetsons.
Yeah.
Just about every Joe Barbera thing, you got to have a dog in it.
Yes.
Usually snickering, I can't even do the laugh.
Yeah,
so, Dastardly and Muttley and different things.
Oh, yes.
You at that. So like you say, Scooby-Doo. Now, what do you think about the recent movies that came out? What do you think about some of those, that like live-action animation or whatever?
Yeah, the early live-action ones, I really wasn't too thrilled with, to be honest. Some of the newer ones were a little bit better, but...
Wasn't there one called Scoob? I remember seeing the ads for that when the pandemic started. And I don't know if it even hit the theaters, or if it just went straight to streaming.
It did.
So you like Scooby-Doo, right?
Yeah.
Well, I will admit that a very famous DJ, Casey Kasem, was the voice of Shaggy.
Yeah.
He did some other cartoon voices as well. He was on a show called Hot Wheels that didn't have any furry characters, but he was in there as Dexter, and he was in the Cat Who Could Catch. You saw a clip on there. He was, maybe I'll find a clip. He was the voice of this big cat named Groove. So you had that, and you had all the mysteries and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, back there.
I mean, if we're staying with mystery gangs, you have Josie and the Pussycats and Speed Buggy.
Speed Buggy, yep, there was that. You had all these different things. They actually had a cartoon called Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It had nothing to do with Redford and Newman. Just the title. I'm surprised they got away with it, but they did that. And so there's a rock band that solves mysteries. And didn't they have, like, was it Jabberjaw? Did they do the same thing? They had the shark who sounded like Curly Howard?
Yeah.
They basically saw how successful Scooby was and just
right, yeah.
A million clones of it.
That's all I get.
There was, I want to say, competing networks all
yeah.
did their own version of Scooby-Doo, so that's one of the reasons why you right. have so many Scooby-Doo clones.
Yeah. Yeah, over here.
I mean, this was before my time, but I recently did find it on DVD. It was a takeoff on The Odd Couple called The Odd Couple.
I was going to say that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay, don't tell me I got to log in again.
Yeah, there was one period where they had a lot of cartoon shows Saturday morning based on primetime shows.
Right. Now, The Oddball Couple was technically authorized by Paramount or wherever owned the rights. Now, that show, and I think I may have a clip on that somewhere. That show, you had, it just popped out of my head. Frank Nelson was one of the voices. Paul Winchell. Paul Winchell did a lot of voices. So he was the sloppy one. He was Fleabag. And then Frank Nelson, yes! He was the voice of Spiffy, the cat. And I've got a clip here somewhere, and I ought to dig it out. I know I've got it somewhere where I can. There's a thing where they do a thing on Columbo. I'll look for it. But go ahead. What else got back there?
This might be a bit of a weird one, but I know most of this cartoon right now. But I was born in Hungary, so I grew up in the Eastern Bloc. We didn't get the like mid-90s. That's when like Scooby-Doo, Cartoon Network, and the Looney Tunes started coming in. So
right. Yeah. Well, was that was that the wolf there? The New Pogodny, is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah.
I'm a little familiar with it. Go ahead.
I've seen that. Like, and there was a music video from Arsene Onefix, Point Never. And there was a music video called, I forgot what it was called, but it had like a cartoon of that cartoon. It had a video of that cartoon we're talking about. So just like, you know, different juxtaposed scenes. I think I've definitely heard that cartoon. I never knew. I didn't check out the cartoon. I never knew really what the cartoon was until I checked it out on the Comedy Central. Like, what's it called? And I looked it up and translated it, and that's when I saw the actual cartoon.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then we also had like a series called Hungarian Folk Tales, which were like classic fables, let's say.
Right.
They usually had a narrator, and they had a pretty good animation to it, and usually there was like a fox and a wolf in it, as in most fairy tales. So that was the kind of start of the slippery slope of the anthropomorphic animals for me.
Yeah. I had the Oddball Couple here somewhere, and I'm just trying to find it. I thought it was one of these playlists, and now I can't find it. I don't know where it went to. But, okay. So let me see. Where did we stop? We're about to get to Paula Abdul. I was going to go back into this. This is an example of a music video using animation. Give this a moment.
She did that in tribute to Gene Kelly.
Oh, right. Yeah, the musical or something.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay, give me a moment. This is the whole song, I think.
A little story, and you're sure to like it. Swift and sly, and I'm playing it cool with my homegirl. Hold on.
Never. She makes the bed
and he steals the covers.
She's not to meet
and he makes a mess.
Do other art. Anthropoon.com. Other art.
And he's always broke. But I don't like cigarettes. I like a smoke. A painting
comic.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
But when we get together, we have nothing but
I think this was not long after Roger Rabbit, so the whole live action animation. They probably had like some of the top animators out there work on this, you know, people in the business.
Do you know who directed it?
No, offhand, do you know? I think it could have been someone famous.
It was done in Minneapolis.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember you, Tim Fay. How you doing? Previous cons, yeah. I can think of some other animated music videos. They aren't all necessarily furry. I remember Elton John, The Club at the End of the Street. There was also Cher with Beavis and Butthead doing I Got You, Babe. They were showing that on MTV and so on. So I'm going to see. I got to go onto my own website. And I know I've got the Oddball Couple thing. I got to take a second. Hold on.
There was also a Sketch Struck video.
Oh, okay. Oh, they did on Family Guy or something?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, give me a moment. I got to find... Okay, so it's going to be Oddball Couple. Here it is.
You don't get oil from grapes. You lie. You're making up this whole cotton picker story. Do you believe this nut? Believe me, bag. Of course I believe it. It's in short.
Sorry, the connection. Ah, yeah. Come on, this is my own website. I'm trying to do my own website here.
Give me a knock on time. Excuse me, sir. I have got your business in front
of you. You're on the wrong show.
Wrong network.
This way.
NBC and ABC.
Moment, sir. I really appreciate you talking to me, sir. Really.
Hey, who is it, Rebag?
Just another nut. Sir, I would like you to look at these photographs and tell me, have you ever seen this gentleman before in these disguises? Take your time, sir. His name is Quick and Fast Oakley, also known as Smarty
Leonardi. Come on. That was an in-joke. Art Leonardi. Smarty Leonardi. This animator.
That's him! That's him! I can take you right to him! Follow me!
Oh. Sorry.
Buffering.
I know, buffering.
I say you gentlemen will have to excuse me. I've got a heavy appointment in Sonora. These hymns are getting mighty restless. I'm concerned, Mr. Rock Bottom. The Moosehead is a dead giveaway. It belongs to the sanitarium. You know, sir, the gang can't wait to see you again. They really miss you, sir.
The boys really miss me.
Yeah, there's some little in-jokes. For example, okay, the Patty Freeling, the Cat in the Pink stock, obviously a spoof of Jack and the Beanstalk, He buys the beans from Honest Frizz's used cows. That's Frizz Freeling. They mentioned Smarty Leonardi. Art Leonardi worked for Patty Freeling and did these kind of interesting fonts and things like that. They had a show called The Hound Cats. The villain was named McCabe. They had an animator named Norm McCabe. And then I think it was called Punch Trunk. It was the one about the little elephant that shows up. It was like a Warner Brothers type thing. And it was like the SS Michael Maltese. So there were so many different things. And I pointed out one, there's a book called Think Pink by Mark Arnold, which is all about the Patty Freeling. And I said there was a show there. There was an episode of a show called The Barclays. The Barclays was like All in the Family. And you had Arnie Barclay as a bus driver. So what happens is his wife, Agnes, drives the bus one day, and everyone thinks she does a really good job. So a whole bunch of the passengers sign a letter, you know, saying congratulations, she did a great job. And they were all signatures for people who worked for Patty Freeling. So you know, I just know, and so I said that to Mark Arnold, and it wound up in the book, and he credited me. So anyway, so yeah, so that's some of the interesting things. I'm going to see if I can go back to what I had here. Let me escape. And then, yeah, I'll go back to my little presentation. And we've got a few more clips to do. So let's go back to here. Okay. I don't know if I'm going to do the whole thing. This was on Banana Splits. I may fast forward part of it, actually. This was before Grounded. Boo Boo Bear himself.
Hey,
Don Messick.
I wanted you to see their dairy. Dairy? Yes. It's here that the ants raise the aphids that supply them with honeydew. What's honeydew? A very delicious food. Oh no, it's got killed. Come on, Mike.
It was Hanna-Barbera, but I thought the character design looked like Filmation, if you're familiar with that.
Dad, you okay? Remind me.
Maybe some of the same animators.
No, you, Dick.
Or maybe the same self.
Right. Between Hanna-Barbera and Disney, they believed in recycling, if you know what I mean. You've ever seen the video where they go back and forth between, like, you know, Robin Hood and the Aristocats and stuff like that? They're dancing and all that. Okay, move to the next one, I think. All right.
Billy,
oh, yeah, some old ads. They had to get permission for all these characters. And Scooby-Doo for Fat Albert, Filmation, DVD and Sherman.
Not just the most fortunate.
More Tony.
Super Sharp's Kellogg's Frosted Flakes cereal as part of a good breakfast can help bring out the tiger in you.
Tiger one, clear for takeoff.
Hey man, you're supposed to let go of the ball. Here.
Yeah, this, I think I showed this one earlier, so it turned up again. But 1974 was the year of the tiger, and I was born in 62. So I was also born in the year of the tiger. I was 12 then. And, of course, the voice, traditionally, for Tony was Thurl Ravenscroft. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. That was what he was also known for.
Hey, cool it, cousin. I'll let you know it's the year of the elephant.
Oh, good.
Sure, DC. Good morning. Can I help?
You can indeed, my dear. I was hoping to bought you from a little moolah.
Moolah?
I need to borrow a little money for a new home.
Right. Shall we take a seat?
Benny, you're up. My previous home has been destroyed, carried away by the trash men on the orders of Officer Gibble, and callously crushed.
Oh, that's awful. You poor thing.
I love that old home. Please help me buy a new one. Just think of the children.
No problem.
Really? No problem? I'm Betty. Enough with the violin.
Okay, Tishy.
Now then, let's get down to business.
Okay. Shall we start with your name?
Tab-cat! Why, Officer Dibble, welcome to my humble abode. Won't you come in? Me and the boys are having a pool game in the library.
Back to Ham's beer. I love the bear in this. I think there might be an ad after this where you see Mike Farrell before MASH.
Oh, hey, that's
the
smile that you
find. Sounds like these boots are made for walking with horns like Herb Alpert and Tijuana Brass.
Just one way to tell a great beer from an ordinary.
I want to see raccoons. Show me raccoons. Coming up. There we go. And then in some other ads after this, too. So look in the bar, you will see Mike Farrell a few years before he was on MASH.
And severe refreshing.
There he is.
Ham's secret? When you start with water best for brewing, you get a beer so refreshing you'll want to stay with it. Glass after glass, round after round. What is the secret? Buy a round of Ham. Glass after glass after glass. Ham, the beer that's brewed with water best for brewing. Tastes best, refreshes you best. The one.
Yeah, kids aren't old enough to drink, but let's do some cartoon characters here.
It bears repeating.
Yeah, cartoons are for everybody. More raccoons.
Hams taste so right, it's worth repeating. It bears repeating.
Reasons for the bear? It's just, you know, it's the woods, it's natural, it's the land of sky blue waters, so let's have a goofy little bear we can, you know, cheer for or whatever. I can't hear, so it's a little tough, I'm not sure what you're saying. Hold on a minute. Yeah, what are you saying about the bear?
I was asking, do you recall which region these ads were aired in?
Mostly the Midwest. I think Ham's was in most of the country, and at this point it's only in certain areas. I did track down this book, which is probably out of print, The Positive Refreshment, The Story of Ham's Beer Advertising, and it's all about that. And for example, here's some schedules. Now, you're from Minneapolis, I think, right? So yeah, you've got that book. So here are some like schedules and different things like that. They have so many of the Ham's beer commercials. And as I mentioned, I went out of my way to buy a six-pack of Ham's over in Meadville. Even though I'm in the Boston area, it's like, you know, it's the only place around. It's either that or Cincinnati or something, you know? So let's get back to this. There might be one more after this.
Fight for Ham's.
Oh, no. This is Nichols and May. Does anyone remember Nichols and May? Of course, Mike Nichols later directed some movie called MASH.
Hi, neighbor. I like a bottle of Gansett for myself and a bottle of Narragansett lager beer for my horse.
Oh, I thought that was a horse. You'll have to get that horse out of here.
I just want a bottle of Gansett for him.
No, I'm sorry. We don't allow horses here in the first place, and we don't serve beer horses in the second place. And just get your horse out, please.
He's got to have a bottle of Gansett. It gives you that straight from the barrel taste and the bottle can on tap.
No.
You don't serve horses?
Well, there's a big sign at the bar. We do not serve beer to horses.
Well, even can't you make an exception this once? My horse is parched, lady.
We do not make exceptions. We do not serve beer to horses. We just won't do it.
Not even Gansett?
No,
but he really craves Narragansett.
No, sir. If we serve beer to your horse, pretty soon every horse in the neighborhood will be coming and asking for beer. Now, just get your horse out of here.
I'm awful sorry, Seymour. Never mind, Henry. I'm driving anyway.
That's a great message. I was going to say that, Narragansett, they used to sponsor the Red Sox games. This is Kurt Gowdy with Red Sox Baseball, brought to you by Narragansett Beer. You would have that. Now let's go to Baltimore, okay? Good morning, Baltimore, as they say in Hairspray. This is Natty Bo, and I like some of the, I think there's at least one of these ads. It's coming. There it is. So these guys would be on the Orioles games and all that.
The whistle of the bat and the race begins with a thundering cheer. It's a thrilling sight to all the people here on the shores of the desert we pray. The Calliope sounds out very clear and he plays loud enough to curl your ear. The drum and the cymbal are well known here on the shores of the desert we pray.
I do buy Natty Bo when I visit Baltimore. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Happy occasions call for quality national beer. Quality that demands the finest grain, the purest water, the utmost patience in brewing and aging.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah, actually, I missed it. Here we go. We're going to have a Pennsylvania tourism ad.
The purest water, the utmost patience in brewing and aging. You can tell by the taste. Light, refreshing, national beer.
Yeah, somewhere I've got a better version of that. Oh, here we go. Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Super strong men who were called the Super Six. Super Six, Super Six, battle criminals and all their evil games. Super Six, Super Six, evil doers of the land.
Oh, yeah!
Whoa! We're in the fear of darkness, given time an uppercut. Five great thunderbolts of power, and a bold who is a nut. Super Six, Super Six.
Again, they just have it. That sort of thing. What's after this? That was just in case I wanted to fill time or something. Like some of the box sets and everything.
So I went over
Hanna-Barbera. Oh. And read from
Alan Melvin, Brady Bunch, and all the family.
I was delighted to meet him because he was the head cheese of the old enchilada there. And so we got chatting, and he seemed very friendly. And then he gave me the copy, and I went in and read it. And he seemed pleased at the time, and then waited for the final result and got the job.
Now the customers can ask, how much is that gorilla in the hammock in the window?
And that's the way it happened. It was rather simplistic.
See, that's a funny line.
Yeah, there's a song, I don't know if I've got it on here, called Making with the Megillah. And Tim over there, you did a guest appearance on a station in Minneapolis, and you played a whole bunch of cartoon-related songs, and that was one of them. It was done by Little Eva and written, I believe, by Carole King or produced by her or something like that. So if I can dig it out, I'll play that. Now, the theme song for Megillah Gorilla, he's really ideal. I wonder who the sponsor is. Ideal Toys? They're wonderful toys! So there we go. Oh, let me see. Was there one more after this? I think I covered a... Oh, okay, we already went to a beer for punishment. So, I mean, I have other things on here too, but it shows you the sort of things I'm into. I have a whole bunch of ads and classic moments and things like that. On YouTube, you can see a lot of these great things. And actually, you know what? I think there is one I want to show you. I've shown this at the panels before. There was a show that Patty Freeland did called Super President. And there was something, there was like a book put out, kind of a companion series, and Jerry Beck was involved with it, cartoon research and everything. Let me find it, wait a minute. So, Jerry Beck, oh, come on. Jerry Beck, Super President. I have not been to any of the Comic Cons out west, but he does something called Worst Cartoons Ever. Oh, here it is. You'll get a kick out of this.
Super President, a 1966 TV cartoon whose secret identity is, well, he's a president. We know who he is.
Come on, man. I was just in Scranton, too. That's where he was from.
Super President. Super President. Well, would you think of a superhero as Super President? That's like saying Super Senator. I mean, it's stupid.
Anybody mind if I take my pill?
Yeah, so I would recommend, if a lot of people get these box sets, there's a whole bunch that have Jerry Beck on them, and he's pretty good. And also, well, we lost him, but Earl Kress also did a lot of great things about that. He was on the Top Cat box set and things like that. So I would recommend books by Mark Arnold. He has a whole bunch of different things about Total Television, the Patty Freeling and everything. Same thing with Jerry Beck. He's done a lot of these great things. And he got together with TV's Frank Conniff, and did something called Cartoon Dump. That had stuff like what you just saw. So, okay, go ahead.
You mentioned Patty Freeland quite a few times, but not the Pink Panther.
Well, I've got some Pink Panther here, but it's actually...
Or another cartoon series, so there's the NPR Park.
Yeah, I may get into some of those. I'm trying to think if they actually did the one that had Matt Furrer, the voice. Was that Hanna-Barbera, or was it DePally? I don't know. But I don't know. I've got different things. The cool thing, actually, you know something? I've got something I can throw on real quick. Pink Panther, this may not be a clip type thing, but let me find, he passed away recently, but David DePatie himself did something for the Here Comes the Grump box set where he talked about things like the Pink Panther and all that, and I uploaded it to YouTube. Some of these things are things that I literally got off the box set, which I uploaded so people can enjoy. So wait a minute. Let's see. David DePatie. Okay, so, he was just very brief. I'll just show a little bit of it. After this ad, message from my sponsor. It's coming up.
Adblock.
Yeah, I should have.
Adblock is your friend.
I know. I thought I had it on there. Oh, there it is. Skip ad. Okay, wait a minute. Here we go.
Get off on my own and start my own studio. Because... Hanna-Barbera had really just just got started. Filmation really hadn't
started. It's not, I don't really like the sound on this, but he explains how he got together with Fritz Freleng and they did the title sequence for the Pink Panther movie.
It was a Pink Panther look-by. The only we had to go by was in the film itself, the whole thing was about the jewel, you know, that gets swiped back and forth, but in this jewel, this diamond, is an imperfection. And this imperfection looks like a weeping Pink Panther. Okay. Anyway, we designed some stuff for him, and one Sunday we took it over to his house and spread him out in his living room floor and walked around. He was a pretty decisive guy, at least he was in those days. And he said, "That's the one I want." And the Panther was born. Anyway, that's how it got started. And
this should be the first. This is like the what the audience loved this so much that wait a minute, Stills Collection. Wait a minute, that should be here. But they were cracking again. Full screen, yeah. I think you said full speaker. That should be.
Just press F.
Yeah, it's fine. And then they had the Pink Fink, which won an Oscar, I believe.
Yes, it did.
Yep, it did. Of course, Mancini with the theme song. Plaz Johnson on saxophone. Well, I mean, they had a whole bunch of different things. They also had him with the inspector and all that. But I wanted to see if I could find... let me go back to this. There was... a guy named Doug Goodwin, who did the theme songs for some of the TV shows. He was originally from Pittsburgh, actually. And let me get into, okay, Pink Panther TV. There were a couple of different, there was the regular show and then the, okay, let's see, season, oh, okay, okay. Doug Goodwin or something, it's here somewhere. I gotta do Doug Goodwin, maybe. Doug Goodwin. Panther, Pink Panther from head to toes.
Opening credits to After the Fox?
I don't know if it's on there. I don't have it. It may be on YouTube. But this is the show that was on NBC and everything, if I remember right. And again, bad sound.
Think of all the animals you've ever heard about. Like rhinoceroses and tigers have been named. There are lots of funny animals in all this world. But have you ever seen a panther that is pink? Pink. A panther that is positively pink. Well, here he is.
And then I think there's an ending too, so. Yeah, Jerry Goodwin did a bunch of music for the Patty Freeland. He also did stuff like Spy Type Guy for A Man Called Flintstone and some tunes for Hey There It's Yogi Bear. And you know what? I may have that. Let me dig it out here. I've got that somewhere. That was something I usually like to play. Let me find it here. From Hey There It's Yogi Bear. Oh boy, it's here somewhere. Maybe it's in my little thing of the playlist. Okay, I think I've got it. If that's the wrong one, this one. Playlist. So yeah, that was Hey There It's Yogi Bear 64, and then Man Called Flintstone was 65. So I've got it here on my playlist somewhere. We'll give you a taste of that. And I think James Darren was the singing voice of Yogi or something. And Boo Boo says, "You sound just like James Darren."
I don't remember
that. Yep. Okay, so it's in one of these things. I've got it somewhere. Come on. Oh, Yogi. There it is. Oh, I just had it. Oh, here it is. Yogi. Yogi St. Louis. Oh, it's. I think the, I might have deleted the clip. That's why it's not on there. But oh well. Let me find. It's not somewhere else. But I've got it somewhere. So okay, but you know what I mean. If I can find somewhere else where the Yogi Bear, what's it called? Hey, there's Yogi Bear. And anyone else want to mention something while I'm doing that up?
After all the talk of the Pink Panther, the inspector got his own cartoons.
Yeah, I think it was Pat Harrington who was on One Day at a Time. I think he was the voice.
Pat Harrington Jr.
Jr. There we go. Well, they were two different. Yeah. Okay, so let me wait a minute. YouTube, St. Louis. Yogi Bear. Let me see if I can find it.
He was the voice Yogi of Buzzy Inspector and Doodoo.
Doodoo, yeah. Which means two. Oh, here it is. Okay. This is going to have Mel Blanc also, but there was a group called Jonah and the Whalers who did this. Okay, it should come up any minute. Unless it got deleted, and for some reason they don't think it's been deleted. That's weird. Ah. Anyway, yeah, we'll try to find it. I have it somewhere on my own website. I can't seem to find it. I got to think about it. Oh, here it is. I hear it. Okay, I think it's coming up. Let me do it full screen.
They turn on the mic.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Get your tickets ready, folks.
Where's this train going, conductor?
Denver, Cheyenne, and Fox Citroni. Hold on.
I want to mention that we were talking about the Pink Panther. A lot of the cartoons he did not talk, but there were some early ones where he did. I think Rich Little did one voice, kind of sounded like David Niven or something. And then later they have the one with Matt Frewer. And actually, I do have one of those. It's called Pink Big, where it's a whole thing about the macro thing. If it's one of these things up here, I got to find Pink 2. I think it's this one right here. But there's actually a couple moments that are almost...
When you mentioned Rich Little,
yes.
I remember that you mentioned that he essentially did a David Niven impression.
Something like that.
He would actually go on to dub for David Niven.
Oh, he did. Okay.
In his last few Pink Panther appearances, because he had throat cancer, I think.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, David Niven couldn't speak anymore.
Yeah. Okay. This one here is from Pink Big from like 93 or so, and there's one moment where there's almost an adult reference with the way he's holding it or something like that. I'm sorry, folks. I'm trying to keep it PG, but I don't know if it was on purpose or not. I think it was early. He grabs like a silo or something, and it's like a, you know what I mean? It's back here somewhere. Well, that's a song. That was like the whole movie. Yeah. Yeah, here it is. Oh, man, I'm sorry. If you're sorry, you know what I mean. Okay. Well, anyway. You want me to freeze frame it?
Yeah, screenshot.
Oh, boy. Okay, back to pink2.mp3. And
slow-mo.
Okay, wait a minute. Here it is. Wait a minute. I don't think this player does slow-mo. I have other ones that do, but this is Windows Media Player. Oh, you, so you just had it. I know it. So anyway, we'll put it back one more time. So anyway, yeah. Any kids in the audience? I'm sorry.
There's, good night, everybody.
Yeah, I'm not really touching any of the adult stuff. You know, we could do a Ralph Bakshi or who knows what. Or
about the Mighty Mouse incident?
Well, there's that, or, you know, certainly, well, Ralph Bakshi did Fritz the Cat and Coonskin and some other movies, I know, yeah. But speaking of which, you know, one of the things about Fox when they first started to go was doing animation domination on Sunday nights at so-called adult cartoons. Yeah, kids may love them as well, but you had Family Guy and you had the Cleveland Show, The Simpsons, which has been, like, been around for, was it 89 it started?
Yeah.
Yep.
You've got American Dad.
American Dad, yeah, that's what. So you got that, and there was King of the Hill that got revived and brought back. But they've had so many shows over the years on Sunday night, so you have that sort of thing. Family Guy. I bought some box sets, and there's some I didn't even get to yet. After a while, I just kind of lost interest, you know what I mean?
The Simpsons already did it.
And yeah, Simpsons versus Family Guy and everything like that.
Yeah.
You had characters. That you had Brian, who was an intelligent dog on 2 feet and everything, but there were other dogs that weren't. They walked on 4 feet and everything. And how was it that Brian had a son who was a human? Huh?
What?
Remember that episode? He had a 13-year-old son he discovered, and it was a human boy. How did that happen? It's Seth MacFarlane's universe, I guess.
Let's not go there.
I'm sure he wasn't adopted.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they really got into that or not. But it was just kind of an interesting type of thing.
Peabody and Sherman.
Peabody and Sherman. That was, yeah, kind of intelligent for its time. And they did have inside references there. They had the Kerwood Derby that was a spoof of Derwood Kirby. You had that sort of thing. And then there was the one about the prince who kind of resembled Walt Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't Disney kind of wind up with the rights to all that eventually? Some of the Rocky and Bowman Co.? Or was that Classic Media? I don't know. Oh, I got to get to... Let me find the thing I told you about that had Rocky and Bullwinkle with the two voices there that was on Evening Magazine or PM Magazine, depending on where you were. It was kind of a fun little thing. So, hold on. It's fun doing it with one hand. Okay, well, YouTube, and then we'll do... Okay, wait a minute. June Foray, Bill Scott. Evening. Okay. Oh, here it is. I think she was born in Springfield, Mass.
Hey, it's your skin.
Oh, sorry about the ad.
Protection may not look as good as it feels.
I think her name was Forer, and it was pronounced Foray, so she changed the spelling. You know what I mean? Forer. There is a book called Did You Grow Up With Me Too? That's about her, by her. Oh, I hate when they do a second ad. Give me a minute. Here it is. Here it is. Okay.
The voices of Rocky and Bullwinkle, as well as a host of other characters, belong to June Foray and Bill Scott.
Why didn't you tell me before?
Why didn't you think to believe me?
I don't. It sure ups the plot.
Well, I'm a brain surgeon. I'm attorney. I'm a public relations man. I'm Bullwinkle Moose.
You're Bullwinkle Moose! My God!
That's what happens. I grew up with you. And that's what happens. Why do you think you're promising? When everybody, instead of having a group of strangers or acquaintances, you were suddenly old friends.
Good memories are feelings brought out by old friends. And when you're introduced to Bill and June, you're among the best memories of cartoons past.
He's Mr. Peabody.
He sure ran at the Wayback will talk. It'll tell you, but it's the Wayback.
This man, this dog, this beaver, his beard, is really kind of a Clifton man. But he kept the speech, and everything went out of the mouth. And
and so that's where the Mr. Peabody voice came from.
Rock was an all-American Boy Scout. And Natasha is a broken Scout. And you don't say, Russian Scout, you know, that's... it's still is.
Beautiful, of course, is my favorite. I guess in large part because that's kind of the character that I would really like to be like. Somebody who says outrageous things. I'm just, but it's so dumb, you really can't take it away. You really can't take umbrage of what he says or what he does. Because after all, the moose. What do you expect from a moose?
Because where do we find him, man?
Oh, the moon.
Oh,
the spaceship. Funny how that worked out.
This is better than BCN Boston.
The moose, part of our old Brahms program, is Heroes on Fire, featuring Kiss.
Yes, and this is from the latest Kiss album, Airline.
On WBCN.
On WBCN.
Yes, we said.
Promoting an appearance at a recent New England Animation Festival was made simple. Just place Bill and June in front of any microphone, and their characters seem to unfold from the past.
Oh, well, man is so delightful, so cute, and so lovely, and she's just another horse in waiting.
You really can't say a girl is quite all there who would prefer a horse over Dudley Do-Right.
Nobody I know who starts out gets a great career, but nobody I know starts out going, I'm
going
to be a good cartoon voice.
Yeah. How'd you do it? I'm pushing you
with my head. Well, I was a dramatic actress. I started writing when I was 12 years old.
What's your birthday? I was writing a thing, and I had no idea about acting at all. So he starts handing out the parts, and I said, who's going to do Michael? He said, well, for the word. So that is how I was assigned, and that's the hard work I did to be cast as Bill Winkle Moose.
Wrong, Rock!
I think it's bigger than a half.
We're just paying respect to those people who gave us so much fun when we were kids. We were true fun, not fake fun. True fun. If just like in the end of an episode of Rock and Bill Winkle, you had to have one of those double titles for your cartoon life that has just passed, what would that title be?
All Quiet on the Western Front, or We'll Be Back.
Yeah, and I found this one here. This was a cartoon that they actually took off for a while because the forestry department didn't like it because it was kind of a bad thing about Smokey the Bear. You'll see what I mean. And this is kind of appropriate given all the smoke we've been getting from from Canada. Hans Conried.
Yes. The Canadian woods, full of trees. Three, a major source of income for both Canada and Joyce Gilmer. Yeah. The dog's best friend. The tallest trees in Canada were to be found on Mount Up. A fur-clad pinnacle that stretched itself skyward 63 feet below sea level. Was a vast sprawling lumber camp consisting of 400 lumberjacks and a jack.
Forest?
You're now looking at...
I just noticed that, my God.
The wealthiest woodman who spares no tree in supplying the demands of a wood-hungry world.
Sicily is running low on toothpaste. We gotta get out 5 million by sundown. To the forest, man!
Hans Conried again.
They all sent every man to the tree of his choice. Up they went, but before they could begin cutting, a very strange thing happened.
Do you smell anything, boss?
Just a little wood smoke. The cook must be burning something.
The cook was burning all right, so was the cookhouse and all of my...
firebug!
Not a firebug, a fire bear. It was Stokey, who for years had planned to fight a forest fire.
The forestry department did not like this.
Now, maybe because he was under the hypnotic influence of that foul ball of the Great Northwest, Snidely Whiplash. Why are you doing this, Mr. Whiplash?
How else can you barbecue hot dogs? Look at my eyes, bear. Now, go light a fire somewhere.
Now, when Canada has a problem, the mounted police have a problem. And their problem is Dudley Do-Right. The inspiration for the famous folk song, Why Don't You Do Right?
That was an old song, right? It was in Roger Rabbit, Why Don't You Do Right?
Do discuss the problem out in the open, as there was no place else to discuss it.
It's all here. It's Stogie the Bear. He's gone, eh? Oh, that rat. Give me a description of him.
Well, weighs about 700 pounds, fur coat, cinnamon color, wears a mountie hat.
That's not very much to go on. Anything else?
He's a bear.
I picked up Stokey's trail, which was still hot. Day after day, the relentless pursuit wore on. Although there was no sign of his quarry, Dudley was getting warmer all the time until finally, the trail took him into Quebec.
Stokey the Bear? No, I haven't seen him.
Well, I have reason to believe he is in your midst.
I'll check on him. Fireman, fall in!
Down the firehouse wall they slid. Unfortunately, whoever designed this firehouse did a poor job. Assembly was held in the basement.
All right, Constable, look him over.
Dudley went down the line, carefully scrutinizing each and every man. It was then when he came to the fifth man in line, he stopped still in his tracks.
This man didn't shave this morning.
And on he went, continuing his search.
Constable.
Dudley was about to agree when suddenly... a three-alarm fire broke out somewhere in the city. Like the noble force they are, the firemen responded instantly. Off they roared at 90 miles an hour, only to realize that the three-alarm fire had broken out not in the city, but in their firehouse. The chief and his men fought desperately to control the raging fire. Each man did his job and did it well, all but one, who was nonchalantly toasting marshmallows.
Chief, that man is shirking his duty.
You mean Stokey, the new man?
Stokey!
The chase was on! But before our hero could grasp the elusive bear, he shot up the fire pole and disappeared. By now the fire was hopelessly out of control and the fighters joined the spectators. Then a gasp came from the crowd as a lone bear was seen standing on the roof, flames licking his feet.
It is he, and I must save him.
Unmindful of the danger, Dudley rushed into the burning building and fought his way to the roof. The chief also sprang into action and ordered his men to bring out the safety net. Unfortunately, the crew grabbed a hula hoop by mistake. The bear landed on Dudley. Dudley landed on his head. 2 weeks later, at Redwood's logging camp...
Tell me, Inspector, whatever happened to Constable Do-Right and Stokey the Bear?
Well, I was all for putting Stokey in the perclare. But Do-Right felt a change of scenery and some home cooking would do him more good. So he took him to stay with some friends of his in Chicago.
Oh! Oh.
Oh. Now remember, Mrs. O'Leary, we'll blame it all on the cow.
I'm going to do another like theme song here. I know there's so many things I can get to here. I'm going to play at least a theme song of Calvin and the Colonel. Same sort of animation and everything. Calvin and the Colonel. It was the same people that did Amos and Andy. And they just made them a fox and a bear, I believe. And there's a weasel played by Paul Frees, a colonel. Okay. I don't know if this... Okay. Well, I don't know if I'll play the whole episode, but let me at least do the theme. Oh, another ad. Okay, wait a minute. But when I was born in February of 62, if you looked at the TV guide, you saw there were several primetime cartoon shows, including The Flintstones, Top Cat, Calvin and the Colonel, and Rocky and Bullwinkle. And then that fall, they had The Jetsons premiere.
The Alvin Show, don't forget that.
And The Alvin Show, too, there was another one. Okay, let's get to Calvin and the Colonel. Hopefully this is the intro. No. It should be.
They might have a teaser.
Yeah. Give it a moment. Oh yeah. Oh, here it is. I think some of the people that did this may have also done bits of Rocky and Bullwinkle and The Munsters and Leave It to Beaver. I think some of the same writers or whatever. So again, this was like Amos and Andy, really.
Look here, Colonel. Here's a job that might be right.
The voices of Amos and Andy.
There's a outdoor work, good pay, start at the top.
No, that is a little misleading. I called him up and I turned out to be feeding gas tanks over in New Jersey.
Laugh track.
Another ad here. Now let me get a soap.
What is that, Calvin?
This employment can be dangerous even if you're just reading about it. Your wife Maggie Bell and her sister really laid down the law about you getting a job, huh?
Yeah, so the lawyer is a weasel. If you see him, he's done by Paul Frees, Boris Badenov, and many other voices.
Well, you aren't going to let them force a retired southern gentleman like you into the jaws of employment.
Let me see if he pops up. But okay, but anyway, that's just still.
No, sir, this is his friend. I'm a different big dummy.
Big dummy, this is like Sanford and Son.
I got a set to be picked up over at 1431 Riverside Drive, apartment E.
Gotta get right on it.
Roger.
Yeah, there's some other shows, you know, there was one that, well, actually, there were theatrical cartoons. The Patty Freeling did The Dog Father. It's pretty obvious what influenced that. And there's a little bit of a box set and some people like Jerry Becker on it. So it's kind of interesting. So you had that, of course, influenced by all the Godfather movies that came out. And you did have a spoof of the mob in Zootopia as well. But like I said, The Dog Father, yeah, it's a world of dogs and all that. And I think that some of that might be on here, too. But it's another one of these few things. They were theatrical cartoons, but they wound up on TV. They wound up on Pink Panther and everything like that. So Dogfather cartoon, because there's other things too, like Snoop Doggy Dog has a Dogfather thing or something. Yeah, I think this is it, yeah. Commercial? No commercial? No?
I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse. Our proposition we can't lose. Set your muscle in on my bulletproof heart. What a gangland war you started.
Dodd Butler, Frank Welker.
I was taking you for a ride. But boom, oh, you got me, Bonnie, riding the Clyde.
So Norm McKay, yeah, Arthur Leonardi.
A wind-up interaction. Are in a sea of cement shoes. Maybe.
The 74, yeah. Theatrical. Among the last theatricals they did.
I'll cut your heart out. That's an offer that you can't refuse.
They also brought these characters back in the 90s for another Pink Panther show. And Joe Piscopo, I think, was one of the voices.
I'm sure everyone is here. We can now start the meeting.
What the chief is saying is, he is now endeavoring to presume that everyone is present.
Yeah, boys!
I don't trust nobody. Answer yes if you're here. You're not here. Only here or no.
The boss says you will answer in the affirmative if you are present. If you are not, you will indict your abstinence by a negative.
Bugsy Beagle.
On me, boss.
Bugsy Beagle.
Just remember that I eat my doggy bones.
I love puns.
Lloyd Labrador. Lloyd.
What the boss is saying is...
Moo! Hiya, fellas. And now, wait a minute. It's not right.
Dawes Butler.
In this business, you got to be on time. Right, fellas, huh? Hiya, Chief. Can I get you anything, huh? Huh, Chief? Anything you say, Chief. You're looking good, Chief. In this here business, you gotta be on time, huh, Chief? And you ought to know, because you served plenty of time, right, Chief?
Yeah, so the thing is, that one thing I was going to mention before we finish up is a lot of these things, TV and movie spoofs, popular fads. There was something called Mush, which had a slight resemblance to MASH. You had, okay, for after Jaws, you had the Shark of Jabberjaw and also Mr. Jaw. Gotcha! With Artie Johnson doing the voice. And, you know, there was the CB Bears. There was Rubik, the Amazing Cube. And then how about Yo Yogi, where they're all teens hanging out at the mall. Jellystone Mall.
Jellystone Mall. Yeah, the forest to build the mall.
Right, and then more recently you have the Jellystone series, which I didn't like. I didn't like the design. I don't know. They're trying to bring back the old characters and everything. So whenever there was a fad, why not do it? Like I mentioned, you had CB radio and everything. You had rock and roll. You had soul. You had different types of music. Whatever it was. We saw earlier the Jackson 5, for example. The Beatles had their own series, of course. They didn't do the voices, but they didn't, you know, they had different people to do the voices. And I mean, for that matter, you had Yellow Submarine, that whole movie. And the only real Beatles voices at the very end when they had that little live action bit. Otherwise, they had other people doing the voices of John, Paul, George, and Ringo. So, but yeah, just a takeoff of whatever is popular, and I'm sure they're still doing now. But you don't really see Saturday morning cartoons on the networks on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Or are there still some? Or?
Well, you've got several cable channels streaming.
So right, you've got that.
24/7.
I don't know why. I have Xfinity in Massachusetts, and they never gave us Boomerang, although I think on one of the on-demand things they might have, but they never gave us Boomerang, you know.
There is a YouTube channel, I want to say Impulse, it's probably called something else, but I do know they have like 2 hour like videos they've uploaded.
Right.
Saturday morning cartoons with commercials from that time included.
Yeah, so is this the one you're talking about? Is this the one that MeTV has, like MeTV Tune In With Me?
I don't know.
You've got that.
Maybe it is.
MeTV does like Svengoolie and all that in the old sitcoms, and they have Tune In With Me.
Oh, okay.
Which I've never caught, but I've heard about it.
But it's the same thing.
Right. I do want to mention, I have a Facebook group called Classic Cartoons. I've already got several thousand members. That's something you may want to check out. Also, there's a show, an internet talk show called Stu's Show, stusshow.com. And over the past 16 years, he's talked to a lot of people that do cartoon voices, cartoon writing, and so on. The people that wrote for the Oddball Couple, let's say, things like that. He's talked to just about everyone, including people who sadly are no longer with us, like June Foray. Yeah. And you can go and hear a podcast for a buck or two. So I definitely would recommend that. I mentioned earlier, Mark Arnold has several cartoon books. Jerry Beck does as well. In the audience, we have the author of a book on furry, Joe Strike, author of Furry Nation. The sequel coming out in August is Furry Planet. And let's face it, people like us grew up on these cartoons, and we became furry, and there's nothing wrong with that. So we've got that. We've got Tim Fay here in the audience. Everything. This is great. Now, it's 5 minutes of four. And there's actually a charity thing that started about 20 minutes ago. So I think we're going to have to wrap things up. But let's if there's any last questions, go right ahead while you're still here. Anyone got any last questions or comments? Okay, back.
Were there any famous singers that did any cartoon voice? That
yeah, there were some people that were on like Scooby-Doo, weren't they? Didn't they have like Sonny and Cher and all that?
Yeah.
And Mickey Dole, was it Mickey? No, one of the monkeys, Davy Jones.
Yeah.
Davy Jones was on, was it Scooby-Doo, right?
I guess it was Scooby-Doo, still has no one, like Sia was on the new
yeah.
movie, Sia and Al.
And one thing that Warner Brothers did, you know, in the revival a couple decades ago, they would have, I think it was Tiny Toon Adventures, and they would do songs like Particle Man and Istanbul Not Constantinople by They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, I think I'll see them last.
I saw TMBG many years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I have been a radio DJ since 1981 near Boston on a non-commercial station. So if it seems like I know stuff about a few things about music, then there we go. And but no, it's true. I remember seeing them going, wow, they got TMBG on there. You know? So yeah, I'm sure there have been a whole bunch of different people. Go ahead.
I'm thinking not necessarily about singers, but you mentioned the Studio Deke.
DIC, was it Inspector Gadget and everything?
Yeah.
The Littles?
Yeah.
The Littles, I have some of the Littles stuff.
Yeah, that would have been some of their earliest work. And then
right.
Toward later on into the 90s, part of their gimmick was they'd come out with these Saturday morning cartoons that would only last 1 or 2 years usually, but their gimmick was they had a celebrity as the voice of the main characters.
Right.
There was one with Rick Moranis as a high school, at a spoopy high school. There was John Candy as a camp counselor.
Camp Candy.
Macaulay Culkin as playing his Home Alone.
What song. That's a Frank Yore. I love that one growing up.
And then there was sports stars, but I kind of doubt.
Well, there were different things. Muhammad Ali had a cartoon.
Yeah.
You had, was it Mr. T or something? There's different athletes that had shows. Right. Yeah, a whole bunch of these. Go ahead. Jackson 5. Jackson 5, and then the other show was The Osmonds. They both were out around 71, 72. They were done by Rankin Bass. Rankin Bass did a lot of those Christmas type things. Like how, you know, the Here Comes Santa Claus or whatever. Santa Claus is coming to town. They did that. And some of their animation was done in Japan, like Halos and Bachelor. And some of it was done So you had Japan, what am I saying? Hales and Bachelor in England, and then in Japan, whatever the studio was, somewhere here, if I can connect to this stupid thing again, they did a Smokey the Bear cartoon, you know, and... back in the mid '60s, and it had a kind of a Dixieland type theme song. I can't believe this is ridiculous. That I have to keep connecting again.
And then didn't Andre 3000 try to do an animated series for kids one time?
Yeah, Andre 2000 from that group there.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
I would like to see that. I really would like to see that.
So we mentioned Jackson 5. That clip, if you saw two mice, the two mice there, their names were Ray and Charles. And the first episode was about how Diana Ross helped them to get famous and everything, which supposedly was not true. It was made up for that. So let me see if I can. Okay, yeah, Jackson 5. Who? Kid, who?
There was Louis Anderson. And
oh, that Life with Louis. Oh, wow. Yeah. Let me see. Okay. Okay. A little bit of this. We're going to give you a bit of it. So this is Rankin Bass.
A trailer.
Here it comes. And I mean, the Jackson 5 were red hot in the early '70s. They had a bunch of number one hits and a bunch of commercials. They had a whole bunch of number one hits. Let me see if I can find it real quick. This is. Okay. Just a little bit of it. We'll see the intro again, but just give you a little bit of it. It's like a medley of their hits. ABC, Mama's Pearl. The Love You Save. This is The Love You Save. Stop the love you say, maybe your own. And I think they did their own voices on this, actually. I think Michael and Marlon and all that. Jermaine, yeah. I'll fast forward a little bit.
Yeah, go.
Real quick, fast forward. It's coming. And I
think.
Oh, that's different. I
Paul Freeze.
Right ahead. Because, you see, I mean, but if they didn't see, he better get something. It's a fight. And the fight, where is it? What am I talking about? This guy is going to be
here it is. Here it is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Kind of a little bit of a Dixieland type song, I think, to start off. Oh, here it is. It's coming up. Mid 60s. They also did the King Kong show, which had a segment called Tom of THUMB. And that one was done in Japan. All these old forest animals. And then this one here, if I can find it quick enough, is this the original opening or not? It might be. It might just be a. Okay.
Yes. No, yeah.
Timba. Japanese, of course. And then this next one, Speed Racer, the one that a lot of us knew was done by a group called Danny Davis and the Nashville Brass. This is after the stupid ad. This is going to be the original Japanese version coming up. Oh, Disney Plus doing an ad. How nice. So this was another show. They remade this a couple times and everything. In the original American version, Peter Fernandez, the voice of Speed Racer, is the one that sings it, actually.
Oh.
I may not necessarily play that, but maybe we will in a moment, and you'll hear it. And again, Danny Davis and the Nashville Brass did the tempo. Let's listen to the original Japanese, which is longer and everything. Here it comes.
With plans starting at just $9.99 a month.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah,
okay,
thanks.
Okay, Disney, we know.
Hey.
Not necessarily furry, but there was Chim Chim. There was the Chim Chim, the monkey.
Yeah. Okay.
Maha, go! 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 Anime! Now, the Mach 5, I think 5 is a lucky number in Japan. It's something like that. And Maha means, yeah. And supposedly the character of Speed Racer was modeled after Elvis in Speedway. I saw that movie recently. It's true. I suppose that's what inspired it. A bunch of people just died.
Well, exactly.
It goes off the thing. Number 5. We had a raccoon fursuiter dressed up as Speed Racer a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and so here's the original, I think, somewhere. Intro. Okay, so here's the one, Danny Davis and the Nashville Brass.
Yes.
Who did, well, okay, give it a sec. Peter Fernandez, the voice of Speed Racer, sang this. Corrine Orr is another voice. We're going to wind up now. It's 7 minutes past 4, and I want to get to that show. So I know some of you wait, but thanks, everybody. We'll do this again next year. As long as I can keep getting an audience and there's an interest, then my pleasure. Hopefully, I will do this at Furrydelphia. They haven't even, it's next month, and they haven't even accepted panels yet. So hopefully, I'll go do this at Furrydelphia and through New England, Furcation Land, and back it. Yeah. So let me turn that off. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. This is a lot of fun. I love it.